It's the Magic Mention episode of Soto Brotherhood. Work Right Way, Work Right Empire. Stash the Credit, Hepzibah Nation, Hepzibah. All the above. I haven't been on from the Disc of the Magic in a while. Most High God been dealing with me on some different things that I had to work through myself and I couldn't really explain them. So there's no point in me getting on here trying to explain anything to you when I can't even figure out exactly what direction the Most High God was leading me in at the time. But now that everything's settled down in my head and I can focus on the mission that's directly in front of me, I do have something to share with the Nation of Helps, with the Nation of Israel, whatever you want to call it, with God's chosen people. Now, in order to have this discussion today, we got to understand something that I'm sure most Israelites at least understand a little bit. Right? What most Israelites understand a little bit is a story in the Bible. Most Christians don't really know this part of the story, but let's go back to, we can go as far back as Joseph. All right, so let's go back and we're going to look at what happened when Joseph went to Egypt. So when Joseph went to Egypt, and he, you know, they went to the thing where he told him it'd be 7 years of fat, you know, 7 years of drought, 7 years of fat, 7 years of famine, 7 years of doing really good, and then 7 years of famine. So you got to get ready for the, you know, the 7 years of famine when they come. Because of this, the Pharaoh of Egypt, who was the Pharaoh at the time, looked favorably upon Joseph and said, listen, you can have, and then, you know, eventually his family came down. He said, you can have the fattest land, you know, in Egypt for your family. The nicest land in Egypt, you can have that for your family. Because of this, the Israelites inside of Egypt received this land that was called Goshen. Now, the beautiful thing about Goshen was, we fast forward on to when the plagues hit Egypt, when Moses was there, and the plagues are beginning to hit Egypt. And we always see these horrible things that happen to Egypt, and we always wonder, these horrible things, well, Christians, you know, that's a little bit deeper in the truth. We tend to read a bit more. So that gives us the ability to say, okay, well, no, it wasn't necessarily this or that or this or that. This is what was going on. Right? We know about Goshen. We know, well, some of us know about Goshen, and we know that the plagues didn't touch Goshen. So when all these plagues are hitting, the death of the firstborn, the locusts, the frogs, then that smell of the frogs after they died, you know, the death of the firstborn animal, all these different plagues that were mocking and hitting Egypt because of their treatment of Most High God's children, none of this happened in Goshen. So Goshen was a safe place for all of Israel. Goshen was a safe place. Goshen was a place in which we didn't have any problems. The Most High God gave us this land because he didn't want us to be hurt in the process of what he had to do to the heathen for what they had done to us. So not necessarily for what they had done to us, because what we must realize, once again, I say this a lot, that anything that's done to us, we allowed it. Because if we didn't allow it, then it wouldn't happen, because we are the greatest nation on the face of the earth. If we never sinned, we would always be in perfect peace, because that's what the Most High God has promised us. You understand what I'm saying? So the land of Goshen comes in, we're in the land of Goshen, and none of the plagues didn't hit the land of Goshen. Now, we see today, we are in spiritual Egypt. We're in spiritual Egypt, spiritual Sodom and Gomorrah. So, we see the plagues coming. We see the plagues may even be here. Now, how do we find our Goshen? How do we remove ourselves from the plagues? What are the plagues? Now, I can't discuss exactly what the plagues are in America. Of course, we can discuss some things like, you know, almost all the time it's simultaneously two hurricanes down in the Gulf of Mexico. It's almost simultaneously two hurricanes always forming in the Atlantic. The entire state of California is on fire with the smoke blowing all the way to the East Coast and beyond. It's smoke getting across the ocean from these wildfires in California. That's not to mention the turmoil our country is in politically, which people don't see as a plague for the Most High God, but it is. We must understand that these plagues are going to continue to come, that Most High God is not going to let up on the heathen for what they've done to us. If anything, he's going to continue to bear down on the heathen for what they've done to us. So we must be ready at all times for all the plagues that are about to come. But in order to be ready for them, we must find the land of Goshen. We must figure out where the Israelites can go during this time. All right, where will be safe? Where can we build a community where the community will in such be safe? We can be protected by the Most High God against these plagues that are about to come against the rest of the United States for their sins and their transgressions, not only against us, but simply against the laws and the statutes, the commandments of the Most High God, not to mention against us. some of these atrocities they've done to us, you know, you don't even need the law to understand these are atrocities, that these are wrong. Not to say that they haven't even studied the law. They may not understand it because the book isn't unlocked to them, but the powers that be have at least studied our law to understand what is somewhat wrong and somewhat right. That's why they try to turn everything that is right wrong, everything that is wrong right. But back to the story of Goshen. We have to find inside of these United States first, because we have to get somewhere here first. You got to understand, Judah is always going to be the beginning. We got to get somewhere here first and get together, make a plan so then we can go to different places that the Most High God has put on my heart outside of the U.S., which I won't even, I'll try to refrain from bringing those places into discussion because I don't want any powers that be here in my podcast getting fearful of what we may or may not do. But to find our Goshen, I had to do a little research, and quite frankly, you know, you always do research to confirm the Most High God. You never do research and call it research to the Most High God. I do my research to confirm the Most High God. So, for a while now. And I don't know if you noticed it. If you were friends with me on Facebook, I deactivated my Facebook. But if you were friends with me on Facebook or you follow me on Instagram, you'll notice I have been talking a lot about Mississippi. And I really didn't know why at first. You know, I had no clue what about Mississippi was drawing me so heavily to it. Why was I so head set on Mississippi? There was a reason behind this. And I'm going to get into that reason when we come back. Stay with the podcast, Front of Desk of the Knowledge. I'll be right back, and I'm going to explain to you what's going on in Mississippi and why Mississippi may be the Goshen that we need. So I'm Mr. Knowledge at Nation Helps. That's what credit helps. We'll be back today. We're talking about Mississippi as Goshen. And I'm going to get into the reasons why Mississippi is definitely an available option for, especially inside of these United States. See, what we must realize also, one thing I see, and I definitely said a lot on this podcast, is that we must have the same outlook as Paul. Now, we can't have this outlook that because America is America, that we can't use the benefits that America has given us. Along with all the cons, there are a couple of pros to living here. That's the same reason that Paul said, listen, I'm an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, but I'm also a Roman citizen. I'm an Israelite of the tribe of Judah, but I'm also an American citizen. I'm going to milk that for whatever I can milk it for without desecrating and defiling my God, which is what I will not do. Without desecrating and defiling my true nation, which I will not do. But inside of America, because we do have these so-called voting options, especially on a state and local level, that you can almost quantify, we have an ability to do something that most people around the world don't have an ability to do. If we can take control of one state, majority of the things that we do within that state can be controlled within that state, if that makes sense. The state governments in the United States, people don't understand what about the United States government is, that we're not the same type of government as China or the same type of government as Russia. Well, we're actually closer to Russia, but we're not the same type of government as a Great Britain, where the federal government has the final say almost no matter what. The United States is what you call more of a confederation or a federacy. Federal government, meaning it's a collection of states. So normally you use the word state in the sense of the state of Nigeria, the state of Ghana, for example, the state of South Africa. So the word state more means government than it necessarily means what we as Americans have turned into the definition of state, because we have a collection of 50 states, and that's exactly what it was meant to be. Not one big, huge government that everybody inside this country lives even somewhat similarly the same. The point was, it's 50 different nations in this one nation, which was a horrible concept in the first place. Didn't make a lot of sense. But Israel kind of did the same thing, because every tribe more or less had control over their territory. Of course, a king's decree could override all these things, but a king tried not to cause that much discord. But back on Mississippi, the reasonings are behind me saying that Mississippi will be such a beautiful option for us. It's very simple. The current population of Mississippi is a little less than 3 million. All right, so a little less than 3 million people in the U.S. state, that's a very small amount of people, especially for the amount of land that Mississippi has. All right? 3 million is almost nothing in comparison. Mississippi is just about the size of Georgia. Georgia has about 12 million, 13 million residents. So that's just to put it in context of how much open land is really available in the state of Mississippi now. It's about 48,000 square miles, give or take. About 47,000 of that is land, arable land. So it's land in which you can grow something on. Right? You may can't grow exactly what you want, but you can grow something. All right, right now, you have about 1.7 million. White people in the state of Mississippi. That's 59% of the state. You have about 1.25 million black people, which is 38% of the state. That's about a 625,000 difference. So the difference between black and white in Mississippi is just about 625,000. All right? And that's right now. So that's to get us from 39%, 38% to 51%. We'll need about 650,000 people to move to Mississippi, which is not that hard to do. That's one small city with 650,000 people. Right now in Mississippi, the entirety, the poverty rate for the entire state of Mississippi is about 21%. That's black, white, Asian, whoever. Now look how much this jumps. The poverty rate for blacks in Mississippi is about 32%, almost 33%. That means this is one of the most impoverished states in the union. All right, you also have 350,000 black people out of that 1.125 million black people in the state, 350,000 of them are in poverty. That's 32.7%. 32.7% of black people in the state of Mississippi are in poverty. They need a savior. All right, so if you're going to claim to be followers of Christ, we're going to claim to be the nation of Israel, the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Our people are in Mississippi suffering right now, and they have been since before the Civil War. What are we going to do about it? The black unemployment in Mississippi stands at 12.3%. What does that mean? That means 10% of the black people in the state over. Closer to, 13%, 14% of the black people in the state have no occupation, no way of making money. And not necessarily they have no way of making money. They have nothing to do. So you can go and get that 10%. Let's do this right here, right? So the map tells us. Let's tell us how many of an automatic workforce we can have in Mississippi. Now, this is if these people want to work. I'm assuming that everybody that's unemployed wants to work, which is normally the case because of the way unemployment, you have to actually be looking for a job to be counted an unemployment number, right? So let's do 1 point. Oh, I can't do one. All right. You have an automatic workforce of about 112,000, give or take a little bit. We got about 113,000 people who are ready to work right now the day you get into the state of Mississippi. And Mississippi is also becoming increasingly moral. All right, so over the years, when you're dealing with the South, you have less babies out of wedlock than other places because in the South, you have a bit more of Christian values that are a staple here in Mississippi. That trend is slowly but surely flipping to the other side. All right. So we have to make sure we go back into Mississippi and reinstill the morality of the situation. But, all right, so now you see that we do have a pretty, 38%, that's the largest in the union. So as percentage-wise, Mississippi has a higher percentage of black people than any other state that's actually considered part of the union in the United States. If you want to consider Puerto Ricans black, of course, Puerto Rico has a higher black population, and also the U.S. Virgin Islands has a higher percentage, about 80% black. In the U.S. Virgin Islands. Now, this state, Mississippi, also has the lowest population density outside the state of Arkansas, I must say, which I consider more Midwest and South. You know, it's kind of South Midwest, but I consider it a Midwestern state, not a Southern state. But the state of Arkansas has a lower population density. But other than that, Mississippi has the lowest population density in the South, meaning it has the most open space. It has the most open space. All right, now, if we could just move 1 million black people to Mississippi, who will have 2.125 million, all right, which would be about 71% of the population. All right, that means we move 1 million of the people That's in all black people. That's in all these different places all over the country, the Mississippi. Just 1 million out of the 40 million we have here. If we can move 1 million back to Mississippi, we have a super majority in the state, meaning as far as the governor, as far as the attorney general, as far as the state Supreme Court goes, and as far as majority of the state house, we might have some problems in the state senate. We got to deal with it in more strategic ways. But as far as majority of the government, everything except the state senate, we'll have complete control immediately. We'll have complete control immediately if we were to move those 1 million and get those 1 million registered to vote. We don't have to worry about voting in federal elections. We get those 1 million to vote in nothing but state and local elections as we've taken over the state of Mississippi. And it's not a very hard thing to do. All right, that's one major metropolitan area. And you'll be able to move way more than 1 million people in. To put it in perspective, 8 million people live in New York. And let's see how many people live in the Atlanta metropolitan area. All right, so that's not just the city of Atlanta, but the city of Atlanta and all those little surrounding areas that we still consider Atlanta. People that don't live in Atlanta still consider Atlanta. I'm from Georgia, so that's why I want to do Atlanta. It's 6.02 million people in the Atlanta metropolitan area. It's 6.15 million people in the Miami metropolitan area. 6.69 million people in the Houston metropolitan area. So as you see, it's very possible to build up a city. Charlotte, which has just started to boom, has a metropolitan population of 2.36. All right, so it's not crazy to think that you can move 1 million people into a city, you know, within a couple months, or maybe even a year. It's not crazy to think that we can build a metropolitan area, an area where we have one major city and maybe six outlier cities. I don't like number six, but 1 + 6 = 7. All right, so if we do one major city and six outlier cities, you have a metropolitan area that could probably house anywhere from, you know, 1 to 10 million people that we could bring to the state of Mississippi and bolster up for ourselves and make sure that we're safe, right? And that's the whole purpose of the land negotiation, is to make sure that we're safe, to make sure that the Israelites have somewhere to go when the boo-boo hit the fan, right? So this Mississippi helps, but it's Goshen that we can create. We must look to as the future. We must look to as the thing that's going to help us become safe. Most people, especially most Israelites that I meet, and it's no disrespect because I understand where you're coming from with it, but we have a tendency to go back to the Christian ways. And we forget why we came into the truth. The reason that most of us came into the truth is why. Christians all talk, no actions. All right, they talk about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then when you tell them, keep the law, don't eat no pork, you say, well, that's too hard. God did away with that. Well, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right? But they completely forget about that verse when it's dealing with anything that they don't want to do. All right, they're all talk, no action. We tend to get the same way when it comes to end times prophecy. You know, we want to be the people who can just sit around and wait and think that we don't have to do anything. We have to put in no work to get this kingdom that's to come, to get this rulership that we brag about and we boast about a lot. We think that there's nothing that we have to do to ensure us that we get this rulership. We think all we have to do is exist and have the blood of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in our veins. But that's why the Most High God told us, what, I can raise up children of Abraham from these stones right here. I'm not tripping. Y'all aren't special. Know that. You are special, but you ain't special because I can create more of you. I already asked Moses, so I kill them all and start off with you. Moses begged for y'all. So we have to realize, man, that it's a certain amount of work that we have to put in. And the Most High God expects us, because of the way that he created us, to be the greatest nation on the face of the earth. He does not expect mediocrity from us. And what we're giving him now is extreme mediocrity. Extreme mediocrity. I posted a picture on Instagram that showed us 1980, that every single country in Africa except, I think it was every single one. I don't even want to say except. Let me make sure. But I'm pretty confident every single country in Africa had a higher GDP than China in 1980. You fast forward, it don't even have to go to 2020. If you go to 2010, every single country in Africa except two. I want to see which two these are. I know it's Equatorial Guinea. And let me see what this other one is. Equatorial Guinea and Equatorial Guinea has a corrupt government, so their money doesn't reach their people anyway. You know what I'm saying? Their money never reaches their people regardless. Equatorial Guinea and Uganda are the only countries in Africa that still have a higher GDP than China. But in 1980, In 1980, the only countries that had a lower GDP than Africa were, I apologize, that was false information. I horribly apologize. All right. Where we at with it? Was Guinea-Bissau and Uganda. And now the only country in Africa that has a higher GDP is Equatorial Guinea. And Equatorial Guinea is a very corrupt country, so their wealth doesn't reach their citizens. They got a lot of oil wealth in their country. It's a very small country that's pretty much just surrounded by oil wells. But that oil, that oil money almost never reaches their people outside of education. Their people are very well educated and very literate. But outside of that, they don't get a whole lot of that money. So China, all right, from 1960 to about 2000, went from literally probably the weakest country because it was so big and so mismanaged. It was probably the weakest and the most vulnerable country on the face of the earth to one of the strongest countries, top four strongest countries on the face of the planet. If we're going to consider ourselves to be this great nation that we've always called ourselves, this great nation that we try to pretend to be, then we must. We have no choice but to do the same thing. If China can do it and we're the greatest nation on the face of the earth, why can't we do it right now? Why can't by 2040, the greatest nation on the face of the earth is located between Mississippi and the Caribbean and Central Africa, South Africa, all boosted together, all in one confederacy, and we're the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. What's stopping us from getting this goal done? Because we see nothing stop China. The only thing that's stopping us is this wish to do as thy will that our people have taken from the heathen. And when I say heathen, I want to make something perfectly clear. Man, in my younger days, in my youth, in the truth, I was definitely a bit more of a color banger, a bit more of a Israelites above all. One thing, I post this on Facebook quite a bit, and I mean this when I say it, the gospel that I preach, the gospel that we should preach as Israelites, is available to everyone. Right, it's available to every person, every soul on the face of the earth is capable of receiving this gospel. Now, unless they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, in that case, they may can't receive the gospel. We have to understand what blaspheming the Holy Spirit is. Every soul on this earth can receive this gospel. Right? Every soul on this earth is not eligible for rulership. Right? Yeah, I'm not saying that you're eligible to be a ruler in the kingdom. What I'm saying is you can be a servant in the kingdom, but servants in the kingdom don't get beat. They don't get raped and robbed. They just go to work every day and come home. You're a servant now. So you have every opportunity to be a servant in the kingdom. You just don't have any opportunity to be rulership in the kingdom. All right, so when I say heathen, I mean someone who doesn't follow the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, regardless of what their color is. If you don't follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're a heathen. You know what I'm saying? You're a Samaritan to me because you don't follow the laws of the Most High God. You're in Christ, so it's not a calling of man common or unclean, but you do unclean things. You engage in unclean activity, which we all do from time to time, but you're not repented of your unclean behavior. You're not even, you don't feel remorse for your unclean behavior, so I can't let myself be around you too much. But even the heathen, right? So the heathen can't come into the land as far as I'm concerned. So when I say heathen, if the heathen can do it, if the heathen can be in all this rulership, I mean someone who does not worship the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right. So if China can do this, it's no reason that we can say that we can't do it. It's no reason that we, as the greatest nation on the face of the earth, can now come back and say, oh, well, China could do it, but we're under too much oppression by the United States government. You don't think China, the Chinese party that exists today, wasn't under subjection of their old government? So what changed that allowed them to become the most powerful nation on the face of the earth? One day, somebody in their country woke up and said, Mao Zedong, to be exact, woke up and said, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not living like this anymore. Someone is going to have to treat me with some type of respect, or we're going to have an extreme problem on our hands. And they did have an extreme problem on their hands. And he ended up completely changing the Republic of China into the People's Republic of China. And it is what you see today as one of the most powerful nations on the face of the earth. Xi Jinping, who is not a president, is the same type of strong man. What's messed us up, once again, I finally got back to my point. What's messed us up from doing this is because we're not China. All right, China is a heathen, but they're together heathen. They have a belief system that they figured out that works for them, and everybody in their country kind of conforms to it. All right, in the United States, we want to do as thou wilt because the heathen has taught us to do as thou wilt. All right, so we want to be able to, abort babies because we want to be sexually promiscuous on both sides. We just want to have sex with a random person that we want to do it. That causes abortion. Right? We want to get married just to have sex. They call it the divorce rate, unlawful divorce. The divorce isn't even lawful except in cases of infidelity. We're sexually immoral people. We're porn watching people. We got our women, our queens out here on OnlyFans, showing their body for money. Harlots, pure harlots. No room for them in the kingdom. Pure harlots. Because the heathen has taught us to be this way. The heathen taught us to do these things. So we as a people, we have to make sure that we establish ourselves. All right, that we don't allow anybody else to establish who we are, to teach us this unrighteousness so that our God can never come and visit us. We have to learn righteousness and we have to implement righteousness, all right? That's a requirement of ours. See, what you don't want to be is, you don't want to be the parable Christ told when the rich man, when he left everybody with a talent. You don't want to be the one that buried the talent. You want to at least put it in the bank. And putting it in the bank is at least helping someone else build a nation. So if you don't have it in you to be a leader, that's no offense. Everyone's not David. Everyone's not Solomon. Everyone's not Zechariah or Obadiah or Isaiah or Nehemiah or whoever. Everyone's not that. You know, some people have a different role, but at least put your money in the bank, meaning at least help someone else build a nation for your people. All right, at least put your time, your energy, your effort into someone else, helping your people into someone else, changing the lives of your people and changing the way the world works today. We all have to put our bricks in. Some will put more bricks in than others because God has given some more bricks. Some will put more bricks in than others because they're actually putting down the bricks. God might have gave you more bricks than this guy, but you ain't putting no bricks down. And so we must make sure that we're preparing ourselves for what's to come. And what's to come is Goshen, Mississippi, Hepzibah. Not only that, we got to understand Mississippi is another reason why it's a perfect location. Because we have to understand the location of, we have to understand the location of Mississippi. What Mississippi gives us is the ability to be on the coast. So as long as we can build ships, we're never stuck. We're never stranded. We can always go right down to the coast, get on a boat, and get away. Right. So it gives us an escape route. Not only that, it gives us he who controls the ports. Controls the country. Why? You can control what get in and out. Right? It's hard to land a plane. It's easy to dock a boat. It's hard to build a plane. It's pretty easy to build a boat. It's easy to shoot down a plane. It's pretty hard to sink a boat. All right? So it gives us access to water. It gives us Gulfport. It gives us Biloxi. It gives us Mississippi City. All these different places in Mississippi that will allow us to build a port. Not only that, we have to learn how to build ships as well. Right, but all that'll come once we get to the land of Goshen. Right now, we have to focus on getting to the land of Goshen. All right, so in order to build these cities, I mean, we need at least 7,000 acres. You got to expect that you can get acreage if you're buying 7,000 or better. You have to expect that you're able to get that acreage for about 500 at the max per acre, as long as you're not trying to buy pristine land. So I'm going to get y'all the price real quick. That's the amount of money we need to start, $3.5 million. That's $3.5 million just on the land, but that's nothing for 7,000 acres of land. I mean, on 7,000 acres, we can build every city. Every city have 1,000 acres. Well, probably the base city have 2,000. Every other city have, you know, whatever we have left over. About 830 acres apiece for the smaller cities. But that'll allow us to begin. All right? So that's a very, very modest goal. $3.5 million is not impossible to obtain. But us as a people, we have to come together to be able to obtain it. All right, this is the Niger. This is from the desk of the Niger. Nation helps with Basotho Brotherhood, Rugrat Ray, Rugrat Empire, all the above. That's the credit helps and also the Carthaginian Empire. All right, shalom. Everyone be blessed. We're going to be back with more of these episodes very soon. We're not going to take so long between episodes from now on. The Most High God got me back on the path next week. We're coming back with more information on Mississippi Helps, but on Goshen. That's coming very, very soon, and how our people can help build Goshen. All right, I want you to share if you hear this message and it resonates with you. Please share it with everyone you know. Right, everyone you know. We're not scared of any information I release. I'm not afraid of anyone hearing it. I mean anyone. All right. Shalom. Godspeed to you. God bless you. It's the Nigel. I'm out.